Habari Anjema, ni kwamba Mungu mwenyewe aliingia dunia. God himself has been among us. He came as one of us. He came to bring salvation. Now, here we have the birth announcement. Sometimes if you open the Daily Nation, you can see the birth announcements. Somebody very important, or some great family, there's been a child who's come. Now, how do you think the birth of the Son of God would be announced? How do you think it would be told? Well, there's a great surprise for us in these verses. Here we have the answer. So we're studying Luke chapter 1, verse 26 up to 38. Now, kitu cha kwanza, mistari ishirini na sita, mpaka thelathini, tunaweza kuona kwamba njia la Mungu si njia la binadamu. God's ways are not man's ways. Now first we're told, verse 26, God sent the angel Gabriel. But where did he send him? It was not to the capital, Jerusalem. And he did not send him there to the council. Did not send him to the rulers of Jerusalem, the rulers of Israel. He didn't go this time to the temple. He didn't call to see the high priest. He didn't come to see Herod, the Judean king. He didn't come to see any of the great rulers there. But, says, he went up to Nazareth. Mji ya Nazareth. Katika region ya Galilee. Galilee. Now that was not an important region of the country. Another time, in Gospel of John, we read Philip saying, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" It was that kind of place. Actually, it was Nathaniel who said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" He was talking to Philip. It's a bit like if the President of the United States, he comes to visit Kenya. But the people in Nairobi, they never hear about it. And our President is never told, and the Prime Minister, he doesn't know. But he just visits some town up in Turkana. And you say, well, why has he done that? As the person he comes to in Galilee, in Nazareth, is not even the mayor. It's not some counsellor. In fact, it wasn't any man at all. It was a girl. It was a Jewish girl. Verse 27. An unmarried girl. She was promised to be married to a man named Joseph. Somebody who was descended from King David. So she was a single girl. She was not an officer. She was not a ruler. God's ways are not man's ways. But God knew this one, this girl, by name. In verse 30, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God." Listen to this greeting in verse 28. "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." So he goes past the kings, he goes past the rulers, goes past the important men, and he visits just a poor Jewish peasant girl up in an unimportant town, and he greets her by name and he tells her that she has been favoured by God. Now this is the true God. He goes past the great and the powerful and he comes to meet with the poor and the lowly. Well, that is, he passes by the rich and the mighty who are proud, who are full of themselves, but he comes and visits the humble ones who fear him. That is the true God. He chose this poor girl, Mary. And he can choose anyone, anyone out of the world. Now how would you reply if if this angel appeared to you, what would you think? Mary, at verse 29, it says she was greatly troubled. She was thinking, what kind of greeting is this? These words, they mean what? And there was a fear in her. But the angel said, do not be afraid. Mary knew she didn't deserve to have God come to her. It's not because she was good. It was not because she had done good works. No, God visits only by mercy. Actually, it was the rulers in Jerusalem who needed to be afraid, because they were proud and God had gone past them and he was abandoning them. Even now, he was beginning. When Jesus grew, when Jesus taught, he often taught them these truths, that God was putting them aside because of their pride, because they thought that they should be favored just because of who they were. But God was putting them aside, and the day would come when God would come and destroy the temple, destroy Jerusalem. And when he would take his truth to all the nations of the world. But Mary had no need to be afraid, because she had humbled herself and she had been seeking the Lord. She was one who feared him. She was one who trusted in his salvation. If you come down to verse 47, we'll look at this next week, but she sings and she says, my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. He has been mindful. He has remembered the humble state of his servant. See, Mary is someone who humbled herself before God and sought him as the Saviour and trusted him as Saviour. Or verse 50, his mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. Mary was someone looking for God's mercy, hoping in God's mercy. She had nothing to bring him, but she looked for the free gift of mercy from him. So God notices the poor and those who are in low conditions, and he can visit them to bring salvation. Don't say, oh, well, God won't visit this place. God will pass us by. We can't get anything from God in our condition, because that's a lie. If you think that God only visits the rich and the powerful, then that's a false teaching. It's not true. But God does notice us. And if you're doing wickedness, then God notices that too. You know, the aircraft that fight in the wars and drop the bombs, sometimes they try to flow low, because they can't be detected when they're low. They say they're flying under the radar. They're hoping that they won't be spotted. But we can't fly under the radar. Just because you're in a low condition, that doesn't mean God doesn't see you. He notices you. He knows whether you're seeking him. He knows whether you're looking for his salvation. He knows whether you're humbling yourself under his mighty hand, or whether you're proud, or whether you're spiritually lazy. God's ways are not man's ways. Now let's move on to end the lecture. And the next thing we learn is that Jesus is a true man. Jesus came as a true man born of a virgin. What was the angel's message? Verse 31. You will be with child. Or literally, you will conceive. You will conceive and give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus. Now those words, the angel was reminding her of a prophecy. An Old Testament prophecy that had been given to prophet Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14, the prophecy was this. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child, and you will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. So you see the words being echoed The virgin will be with child. Gabriel said, you will be with child. The word said, you will give birth to a son. So the virgin will give birth to a son. And the angel said, you will give birth to a son. And the message said, you will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And Gabriel said, you will call him Jesus, which actually means Saviour. Because the angel had just said that the Lord is with you. Now, Mary was being told that the one promised long ago was now going to be born. That God had said long ago he would come and visit his people. Isaiah, in another place, had said that he will be called the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. That this Emmanuel was going to be the Lord Almighty himself coming to visit them. Now Mary is hearing these words. The time had come. Now, the first thing we need to know is that he was a true human being. In our translation, verse 31, you will be with child. As it is really, you will conceive. And she was going to give birth. She was going to have those 9 months of pregnancy. Those 9 months of the baby growing inside her. Those months in which it would move from being tiny, tiny, smaller than you could see, until it was ready for birth. A true human child, born of a human mother. And as he grew up, he would sleep. As his body got tired, just like us, he would get tired and need to sit down and rest. We read of Jesus doing that one time. He would eat, like we need to eat, to get strength. A true man. Everything that a true man has, Jesus had. He's not just an appearance, a spirit, a ghost. But he had a true human body and a true human soul. You see, man was the one who sinned. Adam was the one who sinned in the garden. And man is the one who had to die because of sin. Man the one to be punished. Man the one to pay the price for sin. Jesus had to come as a true man so that he could die a real death on the cross. That God could punish man by punishing Jesus on the cross. It was necessary to be our representative. Jesus had to be a man. Now, if Kenya sends its representative to the United Nations, or sends its representative to the Olympic Games, we can't send a Ugandan. We can't send a Tanzanian. He's not one of us. He can't represent us. For Jesus to be in heaven as our representative, he had to be a man. But he was no ordinary man. He was born with no human father, as the prophecy was, that the virgin will be with child. Verse 34, Mary asks, how can this be? Because I am a virgin, or literally, I have not known a man. There is no man who I have been intimate with. She was promised to be married, verse 27, but the wedding was not yet. So she says, how can this happen? But it was important that Jesus have no true human father, because it meant he would not inherit a sinful nature. That he was not part of the covenant, not part of the arrangement with Adam. When Adam sinned and he brought ruin and misery on us all, Adam brought the curse on us all, and we all inherit a sinful nature from Adam. But because Jesus had no human father, he did not have to inherit this. He was not born under the curse. He was not born under God's anger. And so it was very important. He came as one from outside the human race, with power to save the human race. And now we have a man at the right hand of God. An that's what we need. Imagine if your brother sat at the right hand of the president every day. If every time you had a problem, you just got your phone out of your pocket and you talk with your brother and you say, please, please, can you talk with the president to solve this problem for us? Well, we have a friend in heaven. If we've repented and trusted in Jesus Christ, we have a friend at the right hand of God in heaven. A true man, one of us, there for us now. Well, Jesus is not only a true man, he's also the true God. He is God who came from heaven. He is God the Son. As it says in verse 33, he was to reign over the house of Jacob. That just means the people of God. Jacob was known as also as Israel. The forefather of the 12 tribes just means the people of God. He'll reign over them forever. Now, who can reign over God's people except God? God says, I won't share my glory with anyone else. And who can have the kingdom that will never end? Who is worthy to have the kingdom, verse 33, that will never end? He is both God and man. As the prophecy said, his name will be Emmanuel, God with us. And here he's given the name Jesus, which means Saviour. But only the Creator has the power to redeem the creation. No mere man can redeem creation, but only the Creator has the power to redeem creation. So Jesus is fully man and also fully God. He has the same nature as the Father. He's eternal. He is all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He is present everywhere in his divine nature. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit. He is the Son. And just like the Father and just like the Spirit, he knows all things, he sees all things, he can do all things. And he has been that from eternity. So he's not half God and half man. No, he's fully God and fully man. It's not like you get some water and you pour it in, and then maybe you can get some milk and you can pour it in, and then you have a mixture. Or you get some petrol and you get some water and you have half and half. No, it's not like that. He is completely God and he is completely man. It's not some kind of blend. Some people think that Jesus had the body of a man and the mind of God. No, that's not right either. He had a full human soul, which includes a full human mind, and he also has a divine mind. But these two natures have joined together in one person, so that he is one person, Jesus, the Son of God, not two persons, but he has two natures. And he's the Lord. He rules forever. That's what it says in verse 33. Verse 32, he has the throne of David. Of course, David died because he was mortal. But Jesus rose in power through the power of the Father and through the divine power in him. And his kingdom can only grow, verse 33. His kingdom will never end. This is one of the great truths of the Christian faith, that Jesus is the King who rules forever and ever. Have you bowed to the King? Have you submitted to him? Are you fighting against him? Or is he the Lord of your life? When Kenya gained independence, then the white people had to say, well, we're not the rulers here anymore. We have to change. And if you were a white Kenyan, if you were one who'd been living here and was continuing living here, you had to change. You didn't look at those people in London or the colonial administration as your masters. Now you had to look to the Kenyans ruling in the new Kenyan parliament as your rulers. You had to change your thinking. You had to change because reality had changed. But now that Jesus has been shown to us as the Lord, as the King forever, we must bow to that. We must change our thinking. And the good news, he doesn't use his power to destroy us. He uses his power to save. His name is Jesus. That name means Saviour, Mokozi. He saves from death. He saves from hell. He saves us from our sin if we trust in him. Are you part of his kingdom? Or are you still outside it? Have you come to believe in him? Have you handed over your life to him? Have you become a disciple? The Bible says that we should become disciples. We should be baptized in his name and we should join his church. We should follow him. So that's what we're saying. This is our last point. The right response is to believe and to be saved. And Mary asked how it could be, verse 34. She was not unbelieving. She was not doubting. Perhaps you remember Zechariah last week. He was doubting. He was saying, well, how is this possible? You know, I'm too old. And it was with doubt and unbelief in his heart that he asked the question. And so Gabriel rebuked him. But here, verse 35, there's no rebuke. The angel does not say, how can you ask this question? Mary was looking for understanding. Are you looking for understanding? And so the angel gave her the answer. But it's not really a medical answer. He doesn't explain how a virgin can have a child. He doesn't explain how a woman with no husband can give birth. But he just points to the great power of God. Verse 35. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. And so that Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Or then he points her, verse 36, to Elizabeth, her cousin, the wife of Zechariah. Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. The one who was barren. She's now going to give birth. And she's 6 months into the pregnancy. Nothing is impossible with God. So he doesn't give her an explanation of what can happen inside her body and how it can happen, except he points her to God, the one who has all power, with whom nothing is impossible. God can do anything. God can do anything. And so verse 38 is Mary's response. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. She doesn't say, yes, but how? Really, how? How can it happen? It's not possible. No, she says, I am the Lord's servant. God has brought this incredible news. It must have been frightening news. She's not married. She's going to be pregnant. What are people going to say? What is Joseph going to say? If she said, Joseph, an angel has visited me. He's told me that I will have a child and there's no human father. Joseph, I've not been with anyone. How will Joseph respond to that? What will they say in the village? What will the neighbours say when she has the child before the marriage takes place? Frightening news. But she says, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me as the Lord has said. This is how we should respond to the gospel. The gospel tells us to believe in Christ. And we can't see him. And it tells us we must follow him, though it will make our life difficult, because the way of Christ is not the way of this world. And our friends and our neighbours may not like it. And they may say, what are you doing? Oh, why are you doing this? But we should say to God, I am your servant. May it be to me as you have said. How do you respond to the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ?